Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Carlos was on his monthly trip from one end of the highway to the other. It was hot. 4.5 hours driving through the desert. Music on loud. Today, especially hot. There's been no rain for 3 weeks. He just drove and drove. A lot of it was straight roads. Yeah. There was air conditioning in the cab, but most of the time he didn't bother with that. He just opened all the windows and let the air blow through. And his hair was going everywhere. You can imagine mine would. He had ways to keep himself alert, and today he had a scrap of paper and he had a pencil, and he was making a list as he went along, and he's driving along and he's making this list. He's going to the town, he's going to get some stuff. And so as he's driving along, he's driving one hand, and on his knee he's got this piece of paper and he's writing, I need green paint, I need nails, I need nails, I need a new hammer because one broke yesterday, and the wind blows the pencil and paper off his knee and it goes onto the floor. And so he's fumbling about trying to find it, and he finds a pencil and he picks that up, puts that on the shelf, and he's looking for the piece of paper, and he's fumbling about, but he couldn't feel it. And then he says, well, I'll just have a look. And so he looks and says, yeah, straight road, yeah. And he has a quick look round, and he can't see it. And he says, it must have gone under the seat somewhere. And he's fumbling about, and he's trying to find it, and under the seat, and his head is nearly on the steering wheel, and just at that point, I think I can feel it, and bang! Steering wheel hits him on the head, and everything begins to shake, and everything in the cab begins to shake, and he sits up and he puts his brakes on and he's going, and then everything goes quiet, and everything stops, and he's over here somewhere. And this time, the cab isn't shaking anymore, but it's Carlos who's shaking. And he wants to get out of the cab, but he can't move, because he finds that his hands are just frozen onto his steering wheel, and his knuckles are white, because he's just been shaken up and scared so much. It's scary. The moral to you drivers is, it's really not a good idea to get distracted and swerve off the road, is it? No, Graham, I'm glad you're still with me. Yeah. Today we're going to look at some of the warnings that Scripture gives us about not swerving off the road. It's not a good idea to swerve off the road. And we're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 10 with a new and living way, part of this series that we're doing at the moment. And Andy was talking last week, and Tim the week before, from these verses. Right, we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And you see this word, unswervingly. It's not talking about our driving. We're not talking about car. No, leave Carlos now. We're on that. We're on something else. So it's not talking about driving. It's talking about the way that we run our lives. It's talking about holding on to what we know is right, not ruin our lives with bad decisions. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Are we a people of hope?
Yes.
Are you a person of hope? Where is your hope? Come on, people, you know the answer is always Jesus. Yes, our hope is in Jesus. Do you know some people who are maybe a bit lost, haven't got any hope? Mm-hmm. You have the answer to their hope. Just like Victoria was saying a few minutes ago, you have the answer because you know about Jesus. And that's where their hope, if it's going to come, is going to come from. But if we're going to help them to find that hope in Jesus, then we have to be unswerving in what we are doing in holding on to that hope. What happened with Carlos? How did he start to get into trouble?
Distracted.
He got distracted.
Took his hands off the wheel.
He wasn't looking at the road. He wasn't looking at where he was going. And he began to swerve. Now Carlos, he was fine with his driving, and he went along, and often, just when you're going along a straight road, you go slightly to one side. It's easy to correct. This morning I was going along the motorway, 60 miles an hour, went a bit to one side of the carriageway, yeah, just correct it, come back a bit. When you're watching, it's easy. But if you take your eyes off the road, you can start to swerve. And he got himself into difficulties, and he damaged his truck, and he damaged himself, and then he became a nuisance to the people who had to try and rescue him. And we must be careful not to do that, not to swerve away from Jesus. Little things at first can just begin to nudge us. Maybe I won't read my Bible today. I'm a bit late. I've got to go out. I'll read later. Maybe. I usually pray in the evenings, but there's something on TV I'd like to watch. Maybe I won't go to church this Sunday. I've been invited somewhere else. And you just get these little things which begin to nudge you off the road. And if you're not careful, you can start to swerve off and not even realize it. Church, we've got to be aware that drifting away from Jesus can happen so easily. If it hadn't happened loads of times before, it wouldn't be in this scripture. These people are being told, you must be unswerving. If nobody had ever swerved off, they wouldn't need warning. And it's the same for us. We need warning. Be careful. God is faithful. If we've moved and don't feel close to God, is it God who's moved or us who's moved? God has not moved. If we don't feel close to God, it's us who's moved. Get back. Get back to him. God is faithful. So, be aware. Don't fall into this trap. When things get difficult, there are distractions, temptations. But we're told to hold fast. Press on. Be unswerving. So develop good habits and stick to them. Be alert. See when you're in danger of swerving off. And just gently steer back to where you should be. So, we've got an arrow there. Unswerving. That arrow does not swerve to the left, it does not swerve to the right, it just goes straight on. So there's our visual reminder. Be unswerving. Okay. Next verse. Well done, Balaji. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good love and good deeds. And a picture of somebody helping each other. I couldn't really get a very good spurring on picture, but that's as good as we're going to get. Spur one another on to live in good deeds, so that they will also live a life of faith, lived out with love and good deeds. Listen. It's not my job to try and look after every one of you. I couldn't do it. If I tried to do that, I would burn out in no time. This instruction is to every one of us. Consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. How you might encourage one another. It says consider, think about it. Do that right now. How might you spur on or encourage somebody else in this room? How might you do that? Or maybe somebody else who is close to you, somebody you know, or somebody you're related to. Think about it. Consider. And you may think that swerving away from Jesus only affects you. It doesn't matter if I go away from Jesus a bit, it won't affect him. It does. It does affect other people. Yeah. If I don't turn up this morning, you're not very encouraged by what I've got to say. You might encourage by other things, but no. It affects other people. So, encourage one another. Love one another. We have this image of the church being a body. And we're not all the hand, we're not all the foot, but suppose the hand takes a fork or something and stabs it into the foot. That's going to hurt. And the whole body says, ah, stop that. Don't do that. And what's more, we find we're hobbling about because this stupid hand has taken this fork and gone. And you think, why do you do that? Why don't we stop discouraging each other and start encouraging each other? Consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. What we do does not just affect ourselves, it affects other people as well. So, think about it. Think about how you can bless each other. I can remember a church leader sitting me down some time ago and saying, okay, Graham, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in church? What do you want to achieve? And just listen to me as I talked and said, well, maybe you'd like to do this or that. And having listened, he then went away and considered. He did what this verse says. He considered how he could spur me on. And he came back a few days later and said, okay, Graham, what if we did this and this and this? And having thought about it, he came back with some plans, and I've actually never been the same since. He has affected me and my ministry, everything I do within church, because he was obedient to this verse. That he had to think about how could he spur me on? How could he bless me? Do that with each other. Talk to each other. Listen. So now I ask myself, what can I do to bless Andy? What can I do to bless other people in here? And having thought about that, I then do it. Get on and do it. How can you spur other people on? So we start by then unswerving ourselves, read your Bible, pray for each other, turn up to meetings, prayer meetings, that encourages me. How many did we have at the prayer meeting the week before last?
Half of the church.
17 of us. It was brilliant to be there. We had a good prayer meeting. Yeah. Speak encouraging words to each other. Do stuff that blesses each other. Develop these good habits. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you do this stuff, to give you the strength and the power to do these things well. This is what this verse is saying, and the one before it. How could you bless somebody in this room? And then make a habit of asking this same question regularly. Make a habit of spurring one another on. And what if you do something and they don't immediately respond? What if? What do you do, Victoria, when you do something for somebody and you give them good advice and they don't take it?
Oh, that's an everyday occurrence,
Graham. No, the correct answer is not that you go away and cry. You do it again and you keep on doing it. You keep on encouraging for what, when that person is ready to respond. Let me ask you this. What would Satan have you do? Well, he would have you consider how you can bring each other down and how you can discourage each other. That's what he would have you do. Look, folks, let's do exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants you to do, let's do the opposite. So on that first one, hold unswervingly. What would Satan love you to do? Just steer off the road, go a different way, two different. So do the opposite. Unswerving. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So this verse, verse 25, goes on specifically to talk about meeting together. Well done, people, you're here, that's excellent. Some people are, beat them up later. No. When a person begins to swerve off slightly, just to get to the side of the carriageway, you and I would probably not notice. I don't know whether you read your Bible yesterday or not. How would I know? I could ask, but you might lie. No, I wouldn't know. And you wouldn't know for me either.
Did you?
Yeah. And one of the things that we often notice first is when a person stops attending meetings, stops coming to church, stops coming to the community group, the midweek meeting. So that's often one of the first signs. So be sure to look out for each other and respond to that. And so when you come and meet together, talk to each other, take an interest in each other, find out about each other, and develop care and love for each other. If you're going to come in here and ask me who I am, how I am, you could ask me who I am if you like. If you ask me how I am and not listen to my answer, I'd prefer it if you didn't ask. If you're going to ask me, listen to the answer and then respond to what I'm saying. And do that with each other. Take an interest, care for each other. And then when people are missing, contact each other. Send a text. Are you okay? Haven't seen you for a while. Any problems? Just show some interest. Tell them that they're missed. Meeting together is important. Have you ever come across somebody who says, oh no, you don't need to go to church, you know. You can be a Christian without going to church. Have you come across anybody like that? Yeah? One or two? So what do you say? You might be tempted to take that fork that I was talking about earlier on and go and stab them with it and say, you're wrong! But usually, that's probably not the best way of going about communicating with somebody. So put the fork down. Stop shouting. Don't think that'd help. What might you say to them?
You're missing out.
Yeah, missing out. I might say, yeah. So I'd be tempted to say, that's an interesting question. So what you're saying is, the key thing is that you've got to read your Bible and follow Jesus then. It's not all about going to church and doing this or doing that. Is that right? What do you believe? You've got to read your Bible, follow Jesus. What's the key thing? See what they say. You see, I've wondered about this myself, so, but if we have to do what the Bible says, what do you make of that Hebrews 10:25 then, where it says not to give up meeting together? If you come to somebody and you say, no, you're wrong, you need to do this, you need to do that, often they'll say, oh, I'm not interested. But if you come and say, okay, you're following what the Bible says, point them to what the Bible says and say, what do you make of that then? So now it's not you telling them you've got to go to church, it's God telling them. So if they've got an argument, they've got an argument with God, not with you. You just ask the questions. Encourage them. Hebrews 25, remember the verse. Do not neglect meeting together. Right, so our verse goes on to tell us to encourage one another. Encourage one another with words. Encourage one another with actions. Genuine concern. It's no good just pretending. And then it finishes off all the more as you see the day approaching. But I'm not going to go into that part of the verse. That's for another preach, another time. So, do not give up meeting together. Would Satan love you to stop meeting together?
Yeah.
In which case, do the opposite. Keep meeting together. Keep doing what this verse says. When things get difficult, when we're tired, weary, we're tempted to do other things, just press on. Keep going. Keep doing what Scripture tells us to do. 47 years ago, I came back from university. You can do some maths. You can do it. And I only knew of one other person back home in this area who believed in Jesus like I did. I'd been going to church before I went to university, but then I met Jesus and I came back and I was a different person. And I still went to this same church that I'd been to before, but I wasn't reading my Bible and I wasn't praying, and I thought, you know, it's not very good, this, is it? I was away from all my friends that had been there to encourage me while I'd been studying. And I suddenly realized, this is make or break. I either do this thing and continue my relationship with Jesus, or it's all over. It's all over right now. And I realized that I had to do exactly what we've got in these verses. I had to be unswerving in my hope. I had to spur people on, and I had to especially not give up meeting together. And I just had to do it. And so I got back into those good habits. And that's 47 years ago. And I'm still here. So, today's verse, these three verses, it tells us to do some practical things. Be unswerving in our hope. Spur one another on. Don't neglect meeting together. Encourage one another. Why do we be unswerving in our hope? Because our hope is in Jesus. Spur one another on to do what? We have a practical example of what I'm talking about. Spur one another on to follow Jesus. Don't neglect meeting together. Why? What happens when we meet together? I'm not sure there's anybody awake about now apart from me. What happens when we meet together? We worship Jesus. Is that right, Sonia? No, right. Yeah. We worship Jesus. So, encourage one another to walk with Jesus. Now, there could be some people in this room who are saying, that's fine, Graham. I'm not sure I know this Jesus like you seem to know Jesus. Some of this might just be, huh? If that's the case, you can know Jesus this morning. Talk to me afterwards. Was Carlos sensible or stupid in the way that he drove? Stupid, well done. He wasn't unswerving like we're told to be. He didn't spur anybody on. Did he neglect meeting together? Yes, he did, because he was driving on a Sunday. He should have left his road trip till the Monday. Did he encourage anybody? No. Only the rescue services have had some work to do and some money out of him. So, no, he didn't do very well. We can do better than that. Can we do better than that, church?
Yes.
Right, let's stand up. Are we going to be unswerving?
Yes.
Now, you can get the idea on this. You can say yes, or you can say amen.
Amen.
Are you going to be unswerving, church?
Yeah.
Are we going to spur one another on?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Are we going to neglect meeting together?
No.
Are we going to encourage one another?
Yeah.